Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Dominique really struggled with her faith when she found out she was pregnant. She didn't know how she could carry her baby to term, but she called on God for help and asked for a sign. That's when she ran into who she calls her guardian angel on the steps of an abortion clinic. This man told her there's a better way, and he walked her across the street to a Preborn Network clinic. When she saw her beautiful baby on ultrasound and realized that he was an actual person living inside of her, the answer came loud and clear. She chose life for her precious son, Javin. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, one of the interesting things about 2 Thessalonians, it's a brief little book, but it has a lot to say about a lot of topics, and it has a lot to say about the end times. Well, we welcome you to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and we're going to get into 2 Thessalonians. And Bert, you know, it's one of these books, as a Christian, I've read it a lot of times, but you and I going through it again, it just reminds me of how rich and rewarding the study of Scripture always is.
Always. And let me just share with you, it's endless. And I'm going to try to quote Dr. Rogers, and Alex, you can probably help me, said it is so deep that a theologian can never reach its depths as long as they try. But it is so simple and easy to wait for a child to wade in it and be safe. That is the Word of God. Now, I know I did not quote him exactly, Alex, but that is the power of the Word of God. Yes, it's easy. All the children come unto me, but at the same time, the depths are unfathomable. And so today, yes, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we just covered four verses. Now, we had an interview about Preborn. Hey, by the way, let me just get that done, because I love the partners that AFR works with, and one of those partners is Preborn, and they have these clinics all over the United States, usually in very strategic places close to Planned Parenthood. But now that the abortion pill has come available, it's just everywhere and anywhere. And you can be a part of that, because Preborn, they not only save the babies, they share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those mothers that come in, and many of them get saved. If I remember correctly, with our guest yesterday, Roxy, 9,200 ladies were saved last year through Preborn Ministries. And Amen. So when you give $28, you're providing a free ultrasound for an expectant mother so they can hear the heartbeat and see their child and get a witness of Jesus Christ. And so you can multiply that to 5 or 140, however you want to do it. And you can be a part of this mission effort. If you say, oh, missions, this is a mission. This is saving lives. It is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And they just don't stop there. They continue to help them up into 2 years after the baby is born in child care classes, how to care for them. They also share discipleship classes, Alex. So it is a phenomenal ministry. And so you can be a part of that by going to AFR.net, AFR.net, and follow the link. We need more folks. As Roxy said yesterday, we're looking at 4,500 babies ultrasounds this week. And let me just share with you, it's Wednesday, it's hump day, so we need to continue calling in. Here's the number if you want to make that pledge, 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can go online and donate at AFR.net. So, Alex, amen. I really, I love who AFR partners with, and this is one of our greatest partners, Preborn.
Amen. Well, listen, and I know we're going to get into 2 Thessalonians here in just a second, but I've got the privilege tonight. I'll be on the Hamilton Corner, which is 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 to 6 Central, and so forth. And we've got an amazing show on Hamilton. For one, I'll have on Gianna Jessen, who survived an abortion. And we interviewed her several years ago at the Vegas Voter Summit in Washington. But then also we will have on Roxy, the lady we had on from Preborn yesterday. I'll have her on again tonight, and we'll even talk further about the cause of life. Because, you know, honestly, Bert, let me say this, and I know we'll it does, in a way, relate to 2 Thessalonians
2:7. It does. I did that. Alex, thank you for saying that.
Yes.
I had thought that, and I didn't say it, but thank you, brother. It is true. It does relate.
Well, I'm just going to say this, and 30 years ago, I understood this intellectually, I suppose, but now it's become a matter of heart conviction for me. But when we removed legal protection for the unborn, our nation lost its morals, and in losing our morals, have just about lost everything. And Bert, I honestly believe that to regain a conscience and really to have the supernatural protection of God like we need it, we have got to get back to valuing human life.
Amen.
Because human life, every human being in the world is made in God's image. They're a person Jesus loves. They're someone for whom Christ died. And Bert, the overturning of Roe versus Wade was a big step toward the recovery of our conscience and our morals and the saving of our nation.
Amen. And Alex, we need to continue. Again, it is a political issue. First, it is a spiritual issue. I just want you to know, get your heart right. If you think that killing that child and not letting that child live, you need to look at your life spiritually and your connection with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is a moral issue. It is a spiritual issue. It is a relational issue, and it is a political issue. And we had yesterday someone call and say, what about politics in the pulpit? If you have a problem with that, just let me, I can answer several ways. It's not that we went into politics, which we could and should have. If you don't believe that, you ought to read the Revolutionary War sermons that was preached back in the 1700s. They're amazing. But what happened, the moral issues, those political issues, has entered into our area. I mean, who else better to speak than the Word of God concerning life, concerning identity, concerning marriage? It is that, and that's where it has come. And I think we are disregarding our call as a prophet, a pastor, a priest ministry, not to share truth from God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, Alex, you was talking about what 2 Thessalonians was, persecution, affliction, and second coming. It sure does sound like it's relevant today because of persecution all over the world, the afflictions that are taking place that are physical, that are moral. And then, hey, just about every program that we have done in the last year, the second coming, something about tribulation, something about Christ's return, usually a question comes up in that. Have you noticed?
I know. And, you know, let's go back to verse 7. Paul writes this, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now..." I've got King James. Here's how it's worded. "He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed." Notice it doesn't even say wicked one. It just says that wicked. It's talking about the Antichrist, I believe, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, before I get to the second half of verse 10, let me say this. The mystery of iniquity. I've had people ask me, you know, why doesn't God do something about the world? Well, he is and he has,
Amen.
Right? And the mystery, in other words, the thing that humanly maybe we don't completely understand right now, why are things allowed to be like this? Could God prevent terrorists from doing genocide? Yeah, sure. Could God, you know, let's say an assailant fires a gun at an innocent person, could God bend the laws of physics and make that bullet never hit a human? He could do that. But here's the thing. Evil will be eradicated. The empty tomb is proof of that. And the Holy Spirit of God will try to persuade us to do right. The Holy Spirit will try to convict us to turn away from wrong, but because we have free choice and we're accountable for our actions, God will offer the right path, but he won't force us. If people are bound and determined to do that which is sinful, and Bert, I think in that enigmatic phrase, the mystery of iniquity and the way the Holy Spirit restrains evil. I mean, you think it's pretty rough nowadays. You wait till the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. It really will become, and I'm not being, crass, but after the rapture and the church and the Spirit of God are withdrawn, it will be hell on earth, won't it?
It really will, and the Bible describes that. And Matthew 24 talks about the lawlessness that grows hard and harsh. And here Paul continues that. And Alex, notice this. In the New King James, it says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Again, it's been around, and that's what you were describing. But when the Holy Spirit and the church is removed, look what happens in verse 8. The lawless one will be revealed. There's going to be that gathering away, and we've already talked about that. It's in chapter 2, verse 1, here in 2 Thessalonians. And it says, now the restraint, the Holy Spirit and the church, the body of believers, we're talking about those that are followers of Christ, evil is restrained here. It has its limits. So what you want to do, and it's two L's, limit, lawlessness has its limits now. It seems like during this period of time of great tribulation, the time that is coming, there will be no limits. Evil will not be restrained. It will go forth. Now, not just evil men doing evil things, but, Alex, when you read Revelation and you see all the natural phenomenon that takes the life of believers, that restraint seems to be removed as well. And So that's what's waiting on those that do not know Christ. That's why here on Exploring the Word, we tell you, we beg you, we really do, trust Jesus Christ as Savior. I want to tell you, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me as a 12-year-old boy. When Jesus Christ came into my life, he changed my life, even as a 12-year-old boy, and he has continued to change my life. He's still working on me, Alex.
Well, exactly. Hey, I want to give an illustration, and this is not a great illustration, but Bert, when you were in high school, did your high school have a bully?
Yes, and it wasn't me, though.
Well, good.
Okay,
good.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy at my high school named Jesse, and sadly, he died in our senior year. But I have to tell you, this was the meanest. I really do think it was probably the meanest human being I ever met in my whole life. And Jesse was just the bully. And I remember we were in probably 11th or 12th grade gym class. And I get there and I'm like, oh, man, he's in our gym class. Because I knew. I mean, it wasn't if, but when he would pick fights. But the gym teacher, he said, go in there and practice dribbling and practice dribbling a basketball and I'll be back. Well, Once the gym teacher left the room, Jesse came out of his shell, shoving people down, starting fights. The one that restrained evil and preserved order was when the gym teacher was in the room. But once he left, the bully got revealed.
Wow.
The good news is he came back and he made everything right. Well, Jesus is coming
Hallelujah.
Back, I assure you.
That's the good news. Jesus saves, he's on his throne, and he's coming back to collect those who know him. We're going to be back with more of Exploring the Word right after this break. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear. As I stand on every promise of your word.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert on American Family Radio.
I'm glad we're coming back, but some of these songs I would love to listen all the way through. The Gettys. Alex, Archie, we've interviewed them several times. It's a blessing to have them writing and singing, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And in, not bragging here, but in the fall of 2006, I had them in one of my conferences, and they weren't quite as well known then as they are now. And I mean, not only were they were amazing from the stage, but they were so kind and so friendly to be around, and they are the real deal, in my opinion.
Amen. And they've written, hey, in Christ alone, in my estimation, you just don't get any better. But anyway, thank the Amen. Lord for that. I hope y'all enjoy the intro music to each segment. Alex and I really enjoy it, and we appreciate Brent and the work he does in putting that together. Alex, now let's look. You may want to go back to 7-8, but I wanted to get to 9, so I'm going to go to 9. If you want to go back, you can. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. Now, how does he work? Power, signs, and there's a key word, lying wonders. Mm. Now, if you could take the word lying out, take Satan out, and how someone operates, power and wonders, a few signs, not a lot. That would describe the ministry of Jesus. So yeah. What do you think? He is I've talked to someone this morning. They may be listening this afternoon, or rather I talked to them this afternoon, and I said, Satan is not very, very creative. He mimics. No, he mimics.
He's a counterfeit.
That's all he does. And here it's a counterfeit, isn't it?
That's right. And don't be misled, because there's a principle in logic. Similarity does not equal sameness. I mean, there's a lot of religion out there. There are endless numbers of religious viewpoints. But listen, only one, only Jesus, the true Son of God, died on a cross, paid our sin debt, rose from the dead. You put your faith in Jesus, he forgives your sins. He makes your soul, your spirit alive. The Bible calls that regeneration. The Spirit of God indwells you. Christ is coming back. In a world of counterfeits, and Satan has manufactured countless numbers of them, there is the genuine, authentic, one and only Jesus, the name above all names. And we need to make sure. Now look at verse 10. This mystery of iniquity, the one that Satan works through, here's his modus operandi, deceivableness and unrighteousness.
That's it.
And how were they vulnerable? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, Bert, I realize that this is kind of tough as nails, hard truth on the table, But here's the thing. Notice it doesn't just say in verse 10, they did not receive the truth. It says they received not the love of the truth. May God grant that this is instilled at a young age, but that you are committed to what is true, to telling the truth, to actually loving what is true. And Berta, I think one of the reasons that you and I care so deeply about the Word of God, I know this is you, and I hope it's for myself as well. We really do care about what is true versus what is false, don't we?
We really do, and it's all bound up in Jesus Christ. It really is. He is God with us, Emmanuel. We just got through with Christmas, and listen, what a story that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God did that. Jesus voluntarily came, and he did that because he loves you. Listen, fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. By doing that, you follow him, you obey him, you serve him. It's not a partial. It is all in. It's like you travel a lot on a plane. Have you gotten halfway on a plane before, Alex?
No, you kind of, and listen, every time I take that step, you go down the gangplank and you step into the plane and you're committed.
You're committed. You're not going to be on the plane with one leg out and one leg in. You got
to
get all in.
I have to say, frankly, every time I step across that little gap and I step into the plane, believe you me, I'm praying.
It is, and that is a perfect illustration of in Christ. You don't get halfway in Christ. Now, I admit when I was 12 years old and I saved, and kind of testimony day for Bert, I guess, here, second time I've mentioned it, I did not know all that I was getting. I got more than I ever dreamed or could ever think of, Alex. He's deeper and better. But I knew I was getting a Savior. I knew my life was ready to be changed in following him. And listen. Have you ever heard they deliver? Can I tell you something? Jesus delivers on his promises, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness. 10,000 times 10,000. And I want to stick to the scripture, but let me just echo, and I could go for the next 24 hours. When I was 21 years old, I'm just going to be as clear as I can be. I didn't want to go to hell. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I sensed that Jesus loved me, and that stirred my heart, and John 3:16 moved me. But a large part of my incentive for praying to receive Christ and getting in church, I wanted to go to heaven, not hell, right? But as I grew, and I got in this wonderful little country church that just showed me real truth, and I began to grow, little did I know, I never could have dreamed that I would get a Christian wife like Angie, that I would see the world, that I would get to go to Liberty, and ultimately one day be on American Family Radio. And listen, it's for God's glory, but I'm telling you, folks, Jesus has more for you than you could even dream up for yourself. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." Every dream you've ever dreamed will come true if you build your life, your priorities in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you would concur. And
yes.
But Jesus is everything you hope for and 10,000 times more. Am I right,
You are right on. Alex, you said it about hell. Listen, when I was saved on that Tuesday night in August, the pastor, he was the visiting preacher, was preaching a message about hell. And I knew I had opportunity before to trust Christ, and I'd put it off. I'd say, no, I'm going to wait. That night, I said, God, I'm through waiting. I just surrendered it all. I think they were singing, I surrender all. And I did. I said, God, all that I am right now, I surrender. Now, I didn't know what all God was going to add. You went over that list, pretty good list. He gave you Angie. He gave you a college education at Liberty. He gave you the ministry that he had for you. He gave you a relationship with AFR here.
Amen.
There's so much more, and you did it great. Now, look again at the rest of verse 10. The they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Here's Paul. His evangelism is right there. He said, this is it, guys. There's no other way. You are not saved apart from the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not on your own terms. You're not saved on your terms. You can only be saved by meeting the terms of God. His terms is that Jesus died, he was buried and rose again, and that if you, by faith, would come and experience that and trust him, asking him to forgive you of your sin and asking him to be Lord of your life, asking him to say, Lord, I'm yours now and forever. I want to tell you, that salvation is sweeter today than it was even yesterday. You remember the song that Gaithers wrote? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Alex, that is a testimony. It's true in my life. How about yours?
Amen. Amen. Let's talk about words a little bit. Verse 11, and in the English it says, all right, these are people who did not love truth. And look, if you don't love that which is true, conversely, you are loving that which is false. I mean, there's no middle of the road here. And for this cause shall God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, sometimes people, and we've had this question, they have a problem with God shall send them. Now, let's go over what we know about God. God doesn't sin. God doesn't make a mistake. There is no evil in God. But there's a word, and I think this is fascinating. Pempo in the Greek, P-E-M-P-O, which is actually the word from which we get the word apostle. Now, I'm going to come back to that, but just hang with me. And the word there in the English and the King James, this is not the most ideal way to render this. It says God will send a strong delusion. Literally in the Greek, it is to permit to go forth.
Yeah.
In other words, God permits strong deceptive delusion to come into their life. Now, an apostle is a sent one, right? But this word is something that's allowed. God does not send error into our life. However, if people are just wedded to darkness, disobedience, sin, unrighteousness, it's almost like, let me just say this, let's say you're walking your dog and there's, you know, a dog across the street fighting and your dog is wanting to get in on it. And you hold him back, you hold him back. You say, look, you don't want to get in that. This is not going to turn out good. And then finally, he just breaks his leash and goes over there and gets in it. It's almost like that, Bert.
Yep.
Sadly, there are people, they've resisted the voice of the Holy Spirit so long that heading into untruth is just what they've given themselves over to.
It is, Alex, and that verse, following it, that they should believe the lie. Okay, what comes first, believing the lie? No, them headed, determined to go their way. That's it, their way. And God sends them, allows that illusion that they can be their own God, that they can determine their destiny, that they're in charge, they're the captain of their soul. I'm using a lot of literary words that in the past, I remember studying in literature, they wanted to do that, that they should believe the lie, that there's some other way besides God, that the Antichrist is the real thing. He's the one that's to be worshipped, that I can do my thing and not pay a price. Listen, don't go down that way. Stop. Who was it, E.J. Daniels, or who was it? The red lights to hell. Alex, you and I have talked about that. But
it was E.J. Daniels,
okay,
wasn't it?
I believe that's right. And it was dramatic. I mean, God has provided for those of you who are listening today, if you're not saved, he's put up these warning signs. He's put up these caution signs. Don't go this way. Don't enter there. Don't do that. Don't give yourself into that way, because if you enter in and you take one step, the second step would be easier. It's a descending slope that is going, and it seems to gather a greater power like a snowball rolling down a hill. Alex, It gets bigger and bigger and faster and faster. And the further you go away from this and away from truth, the more difficult it is for you to stop and turn around. Now, you can, and I praise God for those that have, but can I give all of those of you who are listening that are not saved, you need to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Don't take another day chancing, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Listen, I believe that's a strong delusion to think that's all right. It was Percy Ray Brent did that. It was Percy Ray. I did not. Red Light to Hell. That was him. If you don't know who Percy Ray is,
read his biography,
that's
folks.
Right.
It's called A Ray for God. You lent me that book, and I read it and gave it back to you. But, man, what a great evangelist he was. But verse 12 is such a warning, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, 13 and 14 is going to kind of change gears. But I think about this. I'm not going to belabor this point, but a couple of years ago, there was a very famous rock and roll station in Boston, Massachusetts. And it was a, you know, hard rock station, but it got bought by a Christian radio network. And this enraged the rock and rollers. And there was a certain day at midnight, it was going to sign off on its rock and roll format. And then at like 12:01 a.m., come on, Christian. And they said that the last 30 minutes, the DJs, they were so angry that it was going to change format to Christian, that they played all these records, and they said on live air, we're finding the most satanic music we can, and blankety blank, the format changed to Christian, and we're going to, they said, put out as much of evil and Satan as we can in these last 30 minutes. And I thought, that is like people that they chose as vehemently as they could. They rejected light, they rejected truth, and just as brazenly as they could, thrust themselves into sin and darkness and evil. It's tragic, but verse 12, in the Greek, it says that they all will be judged, but they found pleasure in unrighteousness. Bert, we're seeing that all around us today, aren't we?
It is. The rejection of truth is a dangerous road to go down, and the centerpiece of truth is Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Follow Him. That number that you can call and ask your question is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
We want to welcome a new sponsor to American Family Radio, and I hope you give them your full support. That's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. If you're like most of us, you're feeling the strain of rising healthcare costs. Well, good news. Christian Healthcare Ministries may be the answer you're looking for. CHM is an affordable, faith-based option to traditional healthcare that provides members the freedom to choose doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they're not insurance. Can you say freedom? CHM is the longest-serving health cost-sharing ministry and has been around for over 40 years, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. They're tried and true and have members in all 50 states and around the world and have covered billions in medical bills. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. Make the switch today by visiting chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Jesus is enough.
Jesus is enough.
When you're up on the mountaintop or walking through the valley below.
Jesus is enough.
When the storms come crashing in and you're carrying a heavy load. Don't look for the answers in worldly things when your life is tough. Turn it over to Him. Jesus is enough.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back, and we're going to take phone calls by the number. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840 for your Bible questions, 888-589-8840. Hey, let me remind you about preborn, saving babies, and saving souls. American Family Radio, we are so honored and very committed to co-labor with preborn to help save babies' lives. Think about this. Just $28 will underwrite an ultrasound, and an expectant mother is just overwhelmingly more likely to keep her baby. $28, $56, and so forth. So please donate now and stand with us in saving babies. Now, you can do that. You can give securely online, absolutely securely, afr.net/preborn, or you can call 877-616-2396. And Exploring the Word audience, we're a great big family committed to studying God's Word. Call in right now if you would, and every increment of $28 can underwrite an ultrasound that will not only save an unborn baby, but it'll also present Jesus to the expectant parents and so much more. Bert, we enthusiastically stand with preborn, and we encourage our listeners to do the same.
We do. Dan Steiner, who is the founder and the president, what a godly man he is. He's been with us when we go to NRB. We get him to host Exploring the Word a lot of times, and that's the guy that does it. Hey, let's take calls, but before we do, Facebook, again, our Facebook audience is growing, and Brent's got, I think it's a simple question, so it won't take long, but what was that question that we had on Facebook, Brent?
It's going to be from Drew. He wants to know, can you recommend the best book on biblical numerology?
Alex, well, you know that.
Yeah. I got this book some years ago and have been very impressed with it. Here's an author, E.W. Bullinger, B-U-L-L-I-N-G-E-R, and it's titled Biblical Numerology. Now, let me be clear. This is not like fortune-telling or something, but in my opinion, he's a very trustworthy scholar. Numbers mean things, like 3 and 6 and 7 and 40 and 50 days, Pentecost, and years of Jubilee. So that's a topic you don't want to, as we say, you don't want to go to seed on it. But, you know, 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of perfection. But the book by E.W. Bullinger, Bert, I am glad to recommend that book.
And it is. And again, the numbers mean something. Does every number that's in the Bible have a hidden meaning? No, I think that's how many fish there were, you know? But
yeah.
But definitely those that are repeated like 12, 40, significant they are. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. And in Texas, we have Daryl. Daryl, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay, in Revelation at the first chapters, when it says there, the angel of the church, or the angel of that church tell them, is that a real man?
Oh.
Is angel and messenger in that, or is that an angel?
Okay, there's some definite differences on that. Angel is a transliteration of a Greek word, angelos. And so in place of using messenger throughout the Bible, and even in newer versions, they say angel, and that's good. But Alex, this could be the local pastor, or, you know, it may be God has his angelic beings ministering at different places and in different ways at different times, doesn't he?
He does, you know, like in Revelation 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And even though in the Greek it is the word angelos or angelo, it's a singular there, but in the Greek lexicon it's messenger. Now, Bert, I'm going to float an idea. Maybe it can be both, that thank the Lord for pastors, the messenger. I do think that angels probably, you know, the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Do people have a guardian angel? I actually think yes. Maybe do churches have angelic oversight or protection? Perhaps. What do you think, Bert?
I agree with you fully. It could be. And honestly, if you look at the context and how it's given, I think that is a greater likelihood. Just talking about guardian angels, I don't think we have one all the time. I wore mine out, and they had to reassign someone else, Alex. Now, you know,
you're probably right.
Yeah, those of us that are hyper and, you know, it's easy to tell I'm hyper on the radio. I have to write down, calm it down, Bert, because I kind of get going and excited. But we do have those angels. And again, I'm going to recommend this book, This Present Darkness. You know, by Frank Peretti. It's not dark, it's a novel, but it describes with all my heart spiritual warfare and ministering angels better than any book. And the other book would be Billy Graham's book about angels. Alex, again, they do not take the place of the Holy Spirit. Just remember that. They minister in other ways. The Holy Spirit cannot be replaced. Hey, we're going to go to other phone calls, but we have lines are open, and that number is 888-589-8840. And let's go to Texas and talk to Barry. Barry, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Some years ago, I bought a book by Douglas Fee and also Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. And I'm going back to that book again because I'm looking at trying to design a Bible course for a group that I lead. Now, I'd like your input on that book because it deals with hermeneutics and understanding the Bible in terms of what its true meaning is, according to them. What comment do you have about the authenticity of that particular book, if you know it?
Alex, let me just make one or two opening comments, and you do that. Let me share with you the Word of God. You want to read it historically. It is. It's a history. It's history. You need to know what literature it is. If you're reading in Proverbs or are you reading in Psalms, that's a little different than the book of Acts. It's still the Word of God, and you read it, and you look at it in a grammatical way. What does the word say? That's the reason sometimes you need a concordance. You need a Bible dictionary alongside you and to find out what it says, and it'll bring it alive. Here's what God does a lot of times in my life, Alex. I don't know about you. I'll be reading, and I'm reading the Bible through this year. I am doing that. I'm using the Bible that we gave away about for the family, reading the Bible through in a year for the family. I'm reading it that way. But it's not my determination just to read those chapters during that period of time. God speak to my heart. And when God speaks to my heart about a certain phrase, a certain word or verse, I need to stop and let God saturate that in my life. I know that's a way to read it as well. Go ahead.
Well, brother, thank you for this question, because we got this book when I was at Liberty. I was in seminary and graduate school, and, you know, one thing about going to Liberty, they really encouraged us all to build a good library, and this was a book that we were urged to buy, and I did. It was by Gordon Fee and Doug Stewart, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. I thought it was a great book, and let me tell you, I loved Gordon Fee. He was a Canadian theologian. And among other things, Gordon Fee, he was very clear. He wrote commentaries. I liked him for two reasons. One, he was one of these great people that took complex biblical truths and brought it down to where ordinary folks like us could understand it. You know, and I think J. Vernon McGee did that.
Rogers could do that.
But the other thing, and I don't want to get us off track, but there is a teaching called complementarianism that men and women are unique before God and we're complementary, you know. And so in a way, I felt like some of Gordon Fee's teachings, now this is 25 years ago, were good in a response to the gender confusion that was beginning to rear its head even 25, 30 years ago. Now, I'm hoping they haven't twisted and changed and revised what he wrote. But back in the day, we felt like that was a pretty good book, Bert.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. We hope that helps, Barry. And I love your accent, brother. It's It's a little bit different than most Texans. I'll put it that way. Thank you. Let's go to Indiana and talk to Matthew. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi. Hi there. Thank you for taking my call, guys.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
I got a comment and a question, both, if I could. My comment is, I was listening to you earlier on about this is the right time to not put it off. I've been saved and baptized and immersed, but I was living the life of that. I would live the life I would want to live no matter what, knowing, hey, I got salvation, I'm going to heaven. But still, I was tired of it, and I was listening to you guys, and I prayed, you know, deeply prayed when you went to commercial, and I confessed and everything. And I just want to say thank you for having it on your radio today, because I wasn't going to listen. I listened to WAFR on Lafayette Channel, and I just wanted to tell you thank you for this today, because it really meant a lot to hear that, because if it wasn't for that, I would have kept going, and I don't know what would have happened to my life. And where would you recommend I start in the Bible? Because I've read Bible verses, I've read books here and there. I read the whole Revelation one time when I was in jail, and I had a nightmare that I was being attacked by demons, and I yelled for my mom, and it was like a wake-up call, and that was a wrong book to read, the first book to read all at one time.
Amen, you know? Matthew. Hey, listen, we're praising God. Everybody that's on the Exploring the Word staff's got the biggest smile on their faces right now because a brother, can you imagine what's going on in heaven? It's glorious.
Rejoicing.
I would recommend the Gospel of John. Alex, John, the conversations that John has, those 11 conversations with people, really speak to me. And then the I ams, when Jesus says, I am, that speaks. That's my... start out with John. I would do that, Matthew.
Yes. The Gospel of John in the New Testament is really good. Also, the Gospel of Mark is really good. But, you know, brother, what you're saying makes me rejoice as well. And I just want to say to everybody listening, a deep experience with Jesus is available to everybody today. Folks, if you're listening and you need to come to the Lord, or maybe you need to come back to the Lord, just call out to Jesus right now and just express your heart to God. Just say, Lord, forgive me, restore me. Jesus, be Lord of my life. And Bert, we always say it, but isn't it a blessing that Jesus is as close by as a prayer?
Hallelujah. Amen. We're rejoicing. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you. You got through. Thank you for calling. And those of you that are listening that might know Matthew, give him a word of encouragement. Matthew, if you've shared it with us, if you're not in a church, find a strong Bible-believing church and share it with them as well and follow the Lord. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Clay. Clay, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I had a question concerning the resurrection and just wanted to ask why the disciples were not waiting outside the tomb on the third morning if they knew that Jesus was going to rise from the dead.
Okay, Clay, I can't help it. This is Bert Harper. Because you're so much like me and didn't get the whole message, if you read what Jesus would say three times at least, that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die and then rise again the third day, most of them heard he's going to die. They didn't really believe that. Even Peter took him aside and the word is rebuked him. You know, Alex, he didn't want to hear that. And they had given up all hope, and they did not have the Holy Spirit in power in them at that time so they could be strong. I think there's several reasons, but those are some of them. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, I've heard it said that true faith is if you pray for rain, then you get an umbrella, you know, and expectation. But, you know, Christ did reveal himself. The women went to the empty tomb on that first Easter morning. And Mark 16, verse 7, the angel said, Jesus is not here. As he is risen, as he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. It would have been good, and it would have shown great lion-hearted faith if they were there waiting to see that stone rolled away. But, Bert, I think maybe they didn't quite get it. I think they scattered in fear. I mean, if they'll kill the leader, they'll kill the subordinates. You know, so maybe those disciples, now they did come out and they did get bold and they did preach and they were martyred. But right there, just, you know, hours after Calvary's cross, I think they were afraid and probably brokenhearted.
It does. Fear, listen, fear is one of the greatest battles we'll fight in our lives, and they had to overcome that. Clay, thank you. We got time for a short question, and it's Amy in Oklahoma. Welcome, Amy.
Hi. It's amazing to talk to you guys. I've never gotten through like this to a radio. I've listened to a bunch of different ones, but I appreciate y'all's ministry that y'all do, and I encourage y'all to keep going to do what y'all do, because I was sitting there trying to read the Bible, and I heard y'all, and it encouraged me, and I was like, and I heard that number, and I was like, I'm going to give them a call. And I cut through. It's amazing. But I just want to tell you guys, thank you. And I just want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen,
but,
Amy.
I just want to ask.
Well, listen, I tell you what, about anointing oil, I'm going to write that down, and we'll try to answer tomorrow. Can you listen tomorrow, Amy?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, we're going to take that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, because time did catch up on us. But I'm glad you listened, and I'm glad you found This is just a big Sunday school class is what we do, isn't it, Alex?
It really is. Sister, thank you for listening. And everybody, Bert, thank you, and Brent, and the great crew. Folks, we give God the glory. We encourage you to stay in His Word. Tell somebody about American Family Radio, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I want to thank our sponsors, Preborn and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Preborn Network clinics have rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day they save 200 babies' lives. But they can't do it without our help. Will you head over to preborn.com/AFR and sponsor an ultrasound? Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving healthcare cost-sharing ministry, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. Make the switch today and start saving. Visit chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.